Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for the seeing eye and the hearing ear, for what you have enabled us to receive of you, Lord, what you mean to build into us and what you mean to develop in our lives, so that we will be the blessing that you want us to be. We are your creation, fashioned in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are a people set apart unto you, Father. We are a people called forth from out of darkness into your marvelous light, to see, to know, to understand, O God, and to express, O God, that abundance that flows from your heart into our being and through us, O God. And it's to be a blessing, O God, to all who are around us, Lord. As you continue to mold us and shape us, O God, teach us to understand that we function by that grace that you give us, Lord. The grace that you express to us in the faith and love of Jesus. That grace that enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless our hearts in the true knowledge of your Son. Bless our hearts, O God, that we may truly stand in the word of your oath, Lord, and understand, Lord, that truly you have called us to stand in high places, in the conviction and in the confidence of who you are and all that you are. Bless our hearts as we continue to unveil those things, O Lord, that you mean to bring into our lives as a revelation. A revelation that is to be developed according to the calling upon our lives, according to what you have purposed in each one of us, Lord. Bless us, O Lord. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Verse 23, "And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the seed of the word is the seed of God's faith. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ. So that word that we have been talking about in its many forms, we are now on the subject of the word of the oath. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. "For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever." So the word of the oath stands in the Son. The word of the oath is a mystery that is revealed out of the Son. The Son made perfect forever. The Son whose fullness is meant to give expression to the Word of God. The Son whose fullness is meant to describe every word that God means to develop in our lives, to express in our beings, to express in everything that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. The purpose of the word is to create us. The purpose of the word is to fashion us and form us so that we can become the instrument that God wants us to be. You cannot do what God wants you to do out of your own efforts. You have to realize that you are meant to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, new things have come. Many of us are not realizing what God is able to do with us. We are still trying our best. The word of the oath says that what God says in his word will be performed in your life. And what he will perform in your life is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. What is it that you need? What is it that you don't have? What is it that is required in order to answer God's call upon your life? What is it that you see as lacking in your life? What is it that you see as lacking in your character and your nature, your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your words? What is it that you want God to bring into your life? We just can't grow by just anointings and giftings. We need a character and a nature that will hold that anointing and that gifting. God says that He will fill us to His fullness if we grow in His love. So you may not know anything about the scriptures, but you know this, that if you grow in the love of God, then all things are possible to you. So the word of the oath is an expression of the love of God. The oath has been sworn in the blood of the Lamb. And that oath cannot be destroyed. That oath is meant to be written in your hearts. It is meant to be fashioned and formed in your life. It is meant to be expressed through your being. It is meant to manifest you in all that God sees you becoming. So God's given you His word so that you can discover what He wants you to become. He gave you the ability to speak in tongues so that you can go into those things that are hidden to your mind. But at the heart of what God wants to bring in your life is this word that God calls love. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has sworn an oath in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is fundamentally the love of God given to you through the cross. And God is saying that in the blood of the Lamb, there are realities that are beyond what your eye has seen, your ear has heard. Realities that have never entered your heart. All that God your Father has prepared for you, provided you love Him. So the word of the oath is based on this reality. It is certain, it is meant for you. It is bequeathed to your heart. It is meant to be the work of God in your heart. And you can open this whole realm of the word through tongues. God has sworn an oath. An oath that was foreshadowed through the life of David. God made a covenant with David. The last time we talked about this topic, we talked about that. We took it out of the Psalms, right? I think it was Psalm 89, right? Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. David means the well-beloved. And the reality of David was fulfilled through the cross by Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation says that Jesus Christ is the bright morning star, the root of David and the offspring of David. So it is in the fullness of Jesus Christ that God has bequeathed to us a reality that He has sworn by oath He will give us. I will give this to your seed so as to establish them forever. The seed of Christ has been planted into our hearts. The seed of Christ is the seed of God's faith. It is an expression of His love. The seed of Christ that has been planted in your heart is meant to be developed into an oath that God has foreordained to be sworn into your life so that you will become what God wants you to be. So that you will become what is impossible for you to be in yourself. You are sons of God. The Son has been made perfect. So the word of the oath is sworn in the Son, made perfect. The Son, His fullness is meant to be developed in you and me. It is meant to be nurtured and meant to be built by the Holy Spirit so that we will become the instrument that God wants us to be. All this is part and parcel of salvation. God is at work in your life. So yield to God. Yield to the things that God wants to bring as change in your life. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord work in your heart. Let Him enable you to become His chosen instrument. Don't hinder the work of God. Because there's something awesome in each one of our lives. Because God has sworn an oath. You know one of my favorite verses from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah sees a vision, and in that vision, God says, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And he says, "I see the rod of an almond tree." And God tells Jeremiah, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." And God watching over His word to perform it in your life is an oath that He has sworn in the blood of the Lamb. An oath that He has sworn in the merits of the Lamb. It is not based on whether you are fit or not. It is based on what God is able to do in you in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has ordained beforehand. Ephesians 2:10. So understand that as you read the scriptures, God wants you to understand what it is that He has for you. Look at verse 20 of Psalm 89. God says, "I have found David my servant." Like I said, prophetically, David means the well-beloved. Jesus was the servant that the book of Isaiah talks about. We are called to be servant kings in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Today the Lord is asking you, has He found you as David, His servant? Are you the apple of His eye? Do you see that? 1 John talks about perfect love that casts out all fear. Do you know that you are loved by the Lord? Do you know that He loves you and He cares for you? That He has a plan and a purpose for your life? If you don't know this, you need to take that verse from 1 John. Let's look at that verse, okay? 1 John chapter 4, I think. I think it's an extremely important verse. Because so many of us think love is a romance. There is romance to love. There's no doubt about that. Verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment." Have you grown such that you are alive to the love of God? When you minister to people, can you see the love of God able to overcome people's weaknesses, or do you deal with people by just pointing out their flaws? A minister who knows the love of God will always understand that the problem with people is not their flaws. The problem with people is their inability to respond to God's love. Flaws are not a problem. God is bigger than any flaw that you and I have. God is able to change us. God is able to release us. But so often, when we do not know that, we still minister to people through the law, and the law will always condemn you. The law will always sentence you to death. The law will say that the wages of sin is death. So many Christians minister in that reality. The reason is because they do not know the love of God. And if you do not know the love of God, you do not know what the message of the cross is. Perfect love casts out all fear. Pray that in tongues. and ask the Lord to manifest that love that will change your heart. When that perfect love manifests inside of you, you will not control another human being. A husband will not lord it over his wife, and a wife will not manipulate a husband. If in the marriage union you cannot discover the freedom and liberty of the love of God, you will never discover it in any other area of your life. To think that you can get out of your home situation and be able to minister the love of God, you're talking nonsense. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear. There is no fear of the evil one. There is no fear of anything that can happen in your life. David knew the love of God. That's why God loved him, because he understood that God loved him. And all his dealings with God were based on the fact that God loved him. Somehow or other, David knew that. Jesus came to give expression to that love of God through his sacrifice, so that every one of us will discover that love and be set free by that love. Because the church is not going to go anywhere if we don't understand the love of the heart of God. You and I are not going to be able to stand in high office and hold the authority and power of God and minister in that authority and power if there is no love in our hearts. Love is the key to everything that God has as a blessing. Perfect love casts out all fear. Has God found David in you? That's the word of the Lord today to you. Because if he has found David in you, then his oath is also open to you. It is open to everything that you can become, everything that you can do. You have to get out of the world system, and the only way you can get out of the world system is through this word called love. You must be perfected in this love. By this, love is perfected with us, verse 17, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Powerful words. But what do they really mean? They cannot be intellectually analyzed. They have to be revealed in your heart, and they have to be manifested in your life. A person who knows the love of God will die to himself. You cannot be a minister of God if you do not die to yourself. If we insist on our own way, then we do not know the love of God. Jesus is the way. All things have to be developed in that reality within us. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is a freedom and a liberty. It's a peace. It's the knowledge that you are loved. That although human beings may have let you down in your life, although human beings may have spoken evil of you, although human beings may have cheated you and let you down, yet God is your strength. That you know that. It is a revealed reality in your heart. Your heart knows that. In that reality, you become a David in the sight of the Lord. You become the well-beloved of the Lord. I have found David, my well-beloved. Let's turn to Psalm 89 again. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. But I shall crush his adversaries before him, and strike those who hate him. And my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. And in my name his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I also shall make him my firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation. We are all born again. We are born again in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. The seed of Christ has been planted in us. The seed of Christ has germinated in us. We are in his image and in his fullness, and God means to develop that. I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever and his throne as the days of heaven. So we are the descendants of David, who is Jesus. Provided we have received and realized that love that God has expressed for us through the cross. See, the cross is not a reality 2,000 years old. The cross is a reality that is meant to be developed in your life in an abiding reality. So that when we move by the Holy Spirit, we will move by everything that God gave us through the cross. That fullness of Jesus Christ, his character, his nature. That we will not be overcome when the power and the anointings start being expressed through us. We will not be overcome by temptations of the flesh. We will not be overcome by temptations of the wrong spirit. That those anointings and those callings and those giftings will stand intact because we are built in the love of God. It is the love of God that is the word of the oath. It is that rock-like, unshakable union with the beloved. I am loved and I love him, and he is preeminent in my heart. He is my life, and because he is my life, I can hold every gifting and every anointing for his glory, because I love him, because he fills my heart. Because I received it in his name, and I hold it because of him. I hold it in his merits. I stand in his merits. I stand by his faith and his love. I stand in the oath that God has sworn in his blood over my life. And in gratitude I stand, because I am loved, because I belong. I belong in God forever. I have a place that God has prepared for me. That secret place that God has given me. A place that is entirely based on the name of Jesus. A place that is entirely based on the love that God has channeled into my life in the testimony of Jesus Christ. That love that God is building in me. That love that has cast out all fear. That has cast out every fleshly endeavor. I am free. I am set free. The truth has set me free. And the truth that sets me free is the love of my master for me. That love that nobody can steal away from me. That love the Father has to reveal to you. That love the Holy Spirit has to work into you. That love is an oath. An unshakable oath. That love speaks through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's designed for your heart. It is designed for your life. It is designed to hold you before God forever. That you will never be shaken. You will never go the way Lucifer went. You will always know where you stand. Because that love gives you a position, an unshakable position before God. So verse 29 says, so I will establish his descendants forever. That's a powerful statement. For you and me to stand forever. You know, there is no concept of forever in the world that we live in. There's nothing that we see and touch in the world that even begins to be forever. It doesn't exist. And they lived forever after, happily ever after. We see that in fairy tales. That's the only place you find it. You don't find it in science books. You don't find it in the field of economics, in the field of the social sciences. You don't find it in human psychology. That reality forever doesn't exist. Man knows nothing about it. In man's reality, it only is something you end a fairy tale with, and they lived happily ever after, knowing that that never happened really. Yeah? But in the scripture, everything is based on being established forever. Everything is based on the fact that you are forever. Because everything in the Christian faith, if it's developed in the right way, it has the potentials of being forever. It is not passing away. You are not passing away. Your physical body may be passing away, but your soul and your spirit stand forever. That is awesome. That means you can plan knowing that something is happening in you forever. So if you are alive to being in this oath, you realize that God has a plan for your life that is forever. So you are not in a hurry. You're not in a hurry because whatever it is that God has planned for you, it is in His heart. And if He wants to quicken it, He will quicken it. And if He doesn't want to quicken it, He has very good reason for it. And you can wait because you are sure that He loves you, that He will never shortchange you. There will be none of this hurry about, oh, we have a short time. Jesus, who had to save the whole world, did not run about from here to there with His head chopped off. We get so busy that we leave God and we try to do everything in our own strength. Very foolish. Because God alone knows the plan. God alone has the purpose of the abiding. You and I don't know anything about it. It is not of our reality. It is something that God has to reveal and build inside of us. And that reality that stands forever is an expression of His love for you. Because His love for you is forever. His love for you is forever. And it has to be revealed to you because you and I have got no concept of forever. We think 10 years is a long time. You take 10 years and divide it by infinity, how much is that? We can compute it mathematically. Again, it does not register. Perfect love casts out all fear because there is no fear of death. Whether I live today or die today, it doesn't make a difference. I will live forever. I am forever because my God has ordained that in His love for me. We need to have that. If we have that, we will be at rest in God. We will not be rushing here and rushing there, thinking the whole church will collapse if I'm not working all the time. You need to be doing exactly what God wants you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Perfect love casts out all fear. That perfect love that casts out all fear will bring into you the oath of confidence. I have a place before God and I don't have to earn it either. It's been given to me from eternity. It has been given to me from before the foundations of the world. It has been given to me from before my unformed substance, because my God has known me from before my unformed substance. He has known me and He has fearfully and wonderfully made me. And all I have to know is that love that He has expressed in my life, when it's expressed in me, it will bring me forth as a unique creation. I don't have to strive for it. I don't have to stand on my head. I don't have to prove my merits. I don't have to rush here, rush there. I don't have to compete with anybody to receive that love. It is sworn over my life in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something to behold? You see, if you know the oath of God, you will never rush from here to there. You will stand like a rock. And so Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, upon this revelation of me in your life, my church will be built and it will not be shaken. We have a part to play. Let's play our part. Let's play it with a good and honest heart. Let's play it with the confidence of this love. Look at verse 30. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. What is God saying? He is not dealing with you under the law. He will correct you, but he will not destroy you. Hello? He will correct you, but he will not destroy you. But you can be sure, as surely as there is an oath over your life, that he will correct you. Hello? So don't think you can manipulate your way through the kingdom of God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't learn it, then you will be made to learn it. It may not be very comfortable, but you will surely learn it because God has sworn that by oath over your life too. If you think you're going to do your own thing, good luck to you. You can find out what the rod of the Lord is like. My mother never spared the rod as far as I was concerned, even though I was an only child. Verse 34. My covenant I will not violate. This is one of the great things about grace, and this is one of the great things about the covenant of God. God will not violate the grace that he has opened over your life, provided you respond to that grace. So many of us respond to God and through the law. So many of us respond to each other through the law. You make a mistake, I measure it by the law and I hit you back, isn't it? Hello. Perfect love casts out all fear. Have you seen how we analyze what people do and how we pick the faults? Not realizing that as we pick those faults, we are also revealing what is wrong with us. Have you ever thought of that? Perfect love casts out all fear. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. So this oath has been sworn by the holiness of God. That's why when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, Paul writes that he was found with the spirit of holiness. And that's the basis of the oath that God has sworn. He has sworn it in the spirit of holiness that was defined through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood because he was dedicating himself in holiness unto God. He was going to go through the cross entirely for the will and purpose of God. So holiness is being set apart unto God. And so for us, Jesus Christ was set apart unto God as a sacrifice. And in the blood that flowed in that sacrifice, God swore an oath. Listening? In the Son made perfect forever. So perfect love casts out all fear. You are free, you are saved, you are delivered, you are loved. God loves you. by his stripes and by his wounds you are healed. You are set free. If you don't try and understand that intellectually, you can't. You have to receive it from your heart. Pray for the revelation. Pray for the revelation that will set you free from your hurts. Don't wallow in the mud. There is no life in the mud. No matter how much you wallow in it, you are never going to find comfort in your misery. Get out of the misery. By his stripes you have been healed. Go out and pray that into your life. Pray that into your marriage. Pray that into every situation of your life. Don't be dependent on another human being for life. Life comes to you from God. If you know God loves you, you don't need anything else. That's what it means. Perfect love casts out all fear. And if you have that kind of love, you will never be lonely. You will never feel alone. You will never feel rejected. You will never feel bitter. Because that love is able to overcome all things. It will bring into you an oath of certainty, an oath of unshakable realities. Because of the faith and love of Jesus, that is the basis of that oath. So pray the revelation. Don't respond to the misery. Don't respond to the incidences of the past. Respond to the cross of Jesus. Respond to the finished work of the cross. Respond to the finished work of the cross. Pray it in tongues. Ask the Lord to release you from that hurt. Ask the Lord to release you from those memories of pain. It will take time. But as the love of God flows through you and you are set free, God is also preparing you. He is creating in you a clean heart. He is creating in you a new heart. He is creating in you a heart that is able to see Him. He is creating in you a heart that will release His healing love into the lives of others. When you receive the love of God, you will love Him. You can't love Him otherwise. If you don't receive the love from God, your love for Him is just like a fairy tale. So if you have hardness in your heart, it just shows that you have not received the love of the Lord. If you are still bitter about things that have happened to you, you have not received the love of the Lord. Don't get me wrong, it takes time to do that. But what I'm saying is, go after that love. Ask the Lord to manifest it inside of you. Get out of the hurts. Get out of the memories of that hurt. Go after the love of God. Be set free. So that you can receive things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard. All that God has for those who love Him. You can only love Him if you receive His love first. So the word of the oath has been sworn. God has sworn an oath over your life. That oath is sworn in His love. There is no other basis for that oath. The intent of God's love is to make you holy unto Him. So respond to that oath of His love. And He will change you. He will create you. He will fashion you. He will form you. Yes, it will take time. Yes, you have to face things that you don't want to face, but face them. Face them by the Holy Spirit. Face them in the love of Jesus rather than in your own strength, and you will be set free. You're listening? Do you understand what is being said? The only qualification for ministry, the only qualification for kingship, the only qualification for priesthood, the only qualification for the prophetic is the love of God that your heart possesses. If you don't have the love of God, you are nothing but a bankrupt. All the anointings in the world God can pour over your life, it won't make any difference. Have the love of God and you have access to everything. It is the key of David. Do you know that Revelation 3:7 talks about the key of David? It will open the door and nobody can shut it. It will open the door that nobody will shut it. That key of David, God wants to develop in your heart. How is he going to develop that key of David in your heart? He will develop it based on the love that you have chosen to receive from him. The love that you have chosen to pursue in him. Don't try and love God from your flesh. It won't work. Your flesh will never stand the test. Receive that love of the Lord inside of you. That's why God gave you tongues, to receive those kind of things. The Son has been made perfect. Why was the Son made perfect? So that you and I could be perfect. What does perfect mean? I don't know. Neither do you know. That perfection is not of the law. That perfection is of the love of God. It is not structured on thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not do this and thou shalt love God and thou shalt do this and do that or thou shalt not do that. It is not based on a law. It is based on a relationship. It is based on a relationship in which you live by God. You live by what you draw from God. He becomes your life. He becomes your inspiration. He becomes your strength. You don't longer live by yourself. Jesus never lived by himself. That's why when the Holy Spirit left him, he was in agony on the cross. That was his real agony. For 3 hours there was darkness. But you see, he overcame that darkness for you. And so there is light. And so you are called to discover that light, express that light, and not be shaken by that light. Not be shaken because of that light of his life that is meant to be manifested within you. Then you will have the faith that will see salvation manifest on those whom you love. And you will not be stumbled by their weaknesses. You will not be stumbled by what you see them doing. But you will understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that only begotten Son is being unveiled in you. And everything in that only begotten Son that is being unveiled in a heart of flesh that God is fashioning within you is an oath. It expresses an unshakable faith. And you can command the mountains to be moved and they will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. Have the faith of God. Let's look at Mark. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. But in the original Greek, you can find this as footnotes in the Old King James Bible. Have faith of God, or have the faith of God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Why does he not doubt in his heart? Because he knows the love of God. Do you understand? Perfect love casts out all fear. Why do we doubt? Because we fear. Because we fear, we hold on to what we think is real. And what we think is real is what we feel and what we touch and what we know and what we understand. The problem there is not faith. The problem there is not knowing the love that cannot be shaken. The love that has been sworn in blood. be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. How does he believe that it's going to happen? Because of the love of God. Right? That key of David. It is not merely a belief system. It is a belief that is based on the love of God that bears witness to his heart. He knows. He knows that this yoke can be broken. He knows it because he has realized that yoke being broken over his life. Do you remember where you have come from? Do you really know where you have come from? Or have you just explained it away in a testimony that sounds very touching when you give it? Or do you understand the power that was released in your life to make that testimony come to pass? Are you listening? That's what God is asking you. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Why will they be granted you? Because they are given to you by oath. By oath that God loves you. For no other reason than the fact that are we making sense? Yeah? Are we making sense here, guys? Yeah? We're not talking about logical realities. We're talking about realities of the heart. Only the heart can pick this up. Only the heart can hold the key of David. Only the heart can understand how that door can be opened, and no power on earth or in heaven can move that door. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. What is this kind of faith based on? The love of God for you. The love of God that you have come to receive and realize in your heart. The love of God that has become an oath of certainty in your heart. Do you understand that? The love of God that has become an oath of certainty. You know and you know and you know because God loves you. Not because the Bible says so. But because God says so. And he says so in your heart. It is not that Sunday school song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. No, brother, that's not good enough. It has to be in your heart. My heart tells me so, that Jesus loves me so. It is that love that is a perfect love that casts out all fear. In that perfect love, there's no need to compete. Who can take away your place before God? Nobody. You know, when you really understand the love of God and understand the word of the oath, you understand that the only person who can remove God's blessings from your life is yourself. Hello. It's not the devil. It's only yourself. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Why? Because God has sworn an oath over your life. That's why. It is not mind over matter. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It is the reality of his love, a confidence. Jesus loves me, this I know. And that this I know is an oath. Be healed. This is the word of the Lord. Prophet. And you know it is the word of the Lord. Doesn't need any hype. Doesn't need any histrionics and some dramatics and jumping on the stage and having light effects and sound effects. Huh? No need. Just speak the word softly. Whether you speak softly or you shout at the top of your voice, it doesn't really make a difference. It is what is in your heart. What is your confidence? Why do you have to shout to know that, oh, this is faith? Just speak it. Where do you find Jesus shouting at the top of your voice, of his voice? Lazarus, come forth. Yes, he spoke loudly, but he was not shouting. Why do we have to psych ourselves? Don't you know that God is there? Don't you know that he loves you? Don't you know he's anointed you for that ministry he has given you? Huh? So the prophet speaks, but listen to what God says. And what God says will always be true. Praise the Lord. Let's turn back to Psalm 89. So God says he will correct us. It's part of that oath. Verse 35, Psalm 89. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Just think of the imagery there. The sun before me. Hello? Can you imagine the word sun being used to describe you? Hello? Describe you before God. You know that the prophetic word, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. That the prophetic word in your heart is meant to manifest as a morning star. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so the Lord says, you will stand before him forever. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. Where is this coming from? It is coming out of the book of Jeremiah. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 22 onwards. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 22 onwards. As the host of heaven cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not observed that this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord chose, he has rejected them. Thus they despise my people. No longer are they as a nation in their sight. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant for day and night stand not, and the fixed patterns of heaven and earth I have not established, then I would reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant. What is God saying? As surely as the stars are in the heavens, as surely as daytime comes, as surely as nighttime comes, as surely as there are planets and there are movements of those planets, as surely as the earth spins on its axis, and as surely as the earth revolves around the sun, my covenant with David will never be shaken. You listening? God's sworn an oath. He's trying to give you an idea, because we never doubt the fact that the sun will arise tomorrow morning, right? See, God is trying to tell us that there is a reality that will become to us as normal as the sun rising up tomorrow morning. I mean, you wouldn't fast 40 days and 40 nights so that you make sure that tomorrow morning there will be the sun, right? Hello? Yeah? So God is saying that as that sun will arise tomorrow, and you know it with the ease of knowing that you know, God is saying, so are my promises that I have given you in David. So are my words that are given to you as an oath. So faith to move mountains is not sitting down there and getting into a yogic lotus pose and just psyching your mind up so that you have total confidence. No, it is like having peace that passeth all understanding. You just move in it and it happens. And you know it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah? Praise the Lord. So this word of the oath has been given to you by the Son made perfect forever. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7 and let's understand that this is part of the mystery of the kingdom. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 28, for the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law, right, came after the law, it came in the fulfillment of the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. The fulfillment of the law is in the son made perfect forever. And the son made perfect forever is to be perfected into you. So verse 22 says, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And that covenant is for your heart. Praise the Lord. And all this is part of the mystery of the kingdom. So where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It is amongst us. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Luke chapter 17. Verse 20. Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or in your midst. Within you personally, and amongst us collectively. So the mysteries of the kingdom are meant to be revealed from within you. And what is not alive inside of you is not really real to you. What is not alive inside of you is not real to you. Now, this is how God proves himself in your life. Whatever he tells you, he will tell you, and it will be in you as a confidence. If it's not inside of you, pointless psyching yourself up, it is not going to work. When it comes inside of you, it will be a rest. You just know that you have it. Why will you know like that? Because of his love. So why was Jesus given to you? Because God so loved the world. Why was it written, so loved the world? Because it was available in equal measure to everyone. Amen? We measure each other on a basis like the law, isn't it? We have our demerit system and our merit system. He's got a PhD, he's got a bachelor's, he's got a whatever. He's learned, he's this, he's that. Means nothing to God. You either know it or you don't know it, that's all. You either know it or you don't know it. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. What is he saying? You just need to know it. If you don't know it, you don't have it. So pray until you know it. So Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, that rock of revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. That's all. And it's a rock. Why? Because it's sworn by oath. And the oath God has sworn is entirely in the Son. Don't try and earn it any other way. It ain't gonna come. If you try and build things out of your own fleshly confidence, all it will open for you is the occult realm. But if you have that perfect love of Jesus in your heart, it will always be true. I am the door. Only the thief comes by some other kind of door. So if you try and do something and try and earn something from God, you're denying what He has already sworn in Jesus Christ. You have to receive it. And anyone who opens any other door is called a thief and a robber. Am I right? I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. Have you experienced thieves and robbers? Trying to be what we are not. God has to make you become what He wants you to be. If He doesn't do it, it ain't gonna happen. It is not like in the world system, I will work hard and get it. That's not how the kingdom of God is structured. The kingdom of God is structured on a rest. If you don't know that rest, you don't know God. The deeper the rest, the higher is your position in God. As simple as that. It is not based on a meritocracy. It is just based on the Lord whom you know, the Lord that you have wanted to know. Simple. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I am the root of David and the offspring of David. So everything is built into you like a root. The root of His love is what will enable you to become the offspring of David, the offspring of His love. And the offspring of His love will know that He loves them. Hello. As we get older, right, you need to know that confidence. Amen. It is maturity. It is not based on hard work. The harder you work, the further it will be from you. The harder you work, the further it will be from you. That's why empires built by men, big ministries built by men, eventually will totter because they can't keep it together. Why? As you get older, your energy gets lesser. So if you have built something out of your flesh, you are building a sure failure case. Because somewhere along the line, your flesh will give way and your empire will come tumbling down around your ears, just like the walls of Jericho fell down. Yeah? And it has been proven time and time and time and time again. If your life is built on the price Jesus paid for it, then you will rest in that knowledge and you will grow forever. Because everything God builds into you, He will hold it by His own oath. Amen? And you will, as a response to Him, simply bow down and worship Him. And then you really will worship Him because you realize everything in your life that is a blessing operates because of Him. Because He paid the price. And you are free. The truth will set you free. It will not make you go round and round harder and harder because you have to keep on running faster. Because you've got this big empire to keep going. You've got to keep all these guys motivated so that they understand your covering. The covering comes from El Shaddai. He is the God who covers. The all-sufficient God. I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. That's all. That's your covering. Amen. I'm not saying God does not give coverings out of senior pastors, but the senior pastor better know El Shaddai. Otherwise, he's in real trouble. And his people also are in real trouble. So if you are going to be a senior pastor in the future, you better build people so that they keep their eyes fixed on El Shaddai and not on you. then even if your eyes change, your eyes flicker, their eyes will still keep El Shaddai as your God. So let's keep that straight, all right? So that oath, that rest, that confidence, God wants to build inside you and me. That confidence stands in a witness in spirit, water, and blood. And as we celebrate Holy Communion, it is this that Jesus says is the remembrance of me. Blood, water, and spirit. Blood is oath, sworn, right? Water is the reality of what has been sworn. Spirit is the enabling to stand in what has been opened to you through the water, the voice of the word. Blood is that conviction of the faith and love of Jesus that is a rock steady confidence inside of you. Perfect love casts out all fear. And Jesus says, remember me. And if you remember me, this Passover will manifest. Isn't it awesome? Hello. In our world system, you have to work very hard for something to pass over into something else, isn't it? But in the kingdom of God, you have to remember Jesus, that's all. Perfect love casts out all fear. Right? So when you minister to a sinner, do you remember Jesus or do you remember the sin? Hello. That's where the rubber hits the road. What do you see? When you pray for your brother-in-law, what do you see? You see his sin or do you see the love of Jesus? What is the witness that is your reality? What are you praying over his life? Are you condemning him for the many things that are wrong in his life? Or do you see the power of the cross? What have you developed in your life, in your walk with the Lord? What are you praying based on? What is your prayer based on? Good intentions or the oath of God? Which one? The Jesus who shed his blood on the righteousness of yourself. Oh, I pray so long and I read this and I read that and nobody is like me. I fast 40 days and 40 nights every 2 weeks. What is it based on? That's what it's all about. Yes. And the church has to leave the things of the flesh and realize what has been given through the cross in resurrection power. So where is that resurrection power? The surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. Where is it? It has been given by oath. Ephesians 3:20 says that he will give us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think according to the power that works within us. The trouble is the power ain't working inside of us. It is the flesh that is going around and round the mulberry bush. So that's what we celebrate. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the gift of your Son. He is the guarantee. He is the guarantee that describes every little bit of the oath that you have sworn. Every reality of the word that is meant to be performed in our lives is described in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is described in the faith and love of Jesus. It has been tested in the testimony of Jesus. And so, Father God, that word has been given to us as an oath sworn to stand in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus. It is the Son made perfect that is our guarantee. Help us to understand this, Lord, that we will stop trying our best and receive the best you have given us through the sacrifice of the Son. That we will have this knowledge of a confidence, of a love that is perfect, that knows no fear. The love that sees the finished work of the cross in a revealed reality that you have perfected and completed into each one of us. So that we will know and know and know and know, O God, that what you have given us is absolutely unshakable. Holy Spirit, only you can manifest such a reality within our hearts. Only you can build a ministry that will stand in the confidence of a love that is unshakable. A love that is unshakable and unveils a confidence of such power that it will manifest a faith that will move mountains of impossibility. And as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to us, nothing shall be impossible to us, Lord. So the word of the oath speaks of this reality of nothing being impossible to us. The word of the oath speaks about what Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. It will be given to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless us with the name of Jesus. To bless us in and by and through the name of Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the name of Jesus so that the name of Jesus will be woven into the fabrics of our being. That the name of Jesus will form, oh God, our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious. That the name of Jesus in his witness and his testimony will form our character, our nature, our personality, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. That the word of the living God will be expounded into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In the spirit and life of Jesus. In the faith and love of Jesus. In the character and nature of Jesus. In the heart and mind of Jesus. In the witness and testimony of Jesus. And we will be manifested, O God, in holiness unto you. And that reality of being holy unto you will be birthed out of that love of the Master for each one of us. That love that speaks through the blood. That love that casts out all fear. That love that is a perfect love. That love that we all need in order to live, Father. Save us, O God, by your name. Vindicate us by your power. Wash us in the blood that speaks of this love. That we will not carry the baggage of our past. That we will not carry the hurts and the disappointments of our past. That we will not carry the memories of wrong words and wrong deeds and wrong actions and betrayals, O God, in our life. But we will rise knowing that we are loved. That we are loved, warts and all. We are loved no matter how we look physically. We are loved, O God, because you have loved us with an everlasting love. Because you have loved us from the foundations of the universe, O God. We want to bless you. We want to glorify you. We want to thank you, O God, for realities that are ours through the blood of Jesus. We want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for expounding those realities to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. We thank you that in the faith and love of Jesus, O God, we will know no fear. We will walk in a truth that will be manifested in us as a living peace. Your shalom is our inheritance. Your shalom is our possession. Your shalom is our rock and our defense. Your shalom, O God, will preserve us, O God, in every situation and circumstance. Your shalom will destroy the yokes of death and destruction, O God. We want to bless you and thank you that this is our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we have the elements? Should we pray over the elements, the prophetic elements of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, bread and wine. Bread speaking of the substance of the holy and the most holy. Wine speaking of the witness that will enable us to function perfectly by the Holy Spirit. The witness of peace, the witness, O God, that has no fear, Father. The witness that knows your love, the witness, O God, that testifies of all that you have worked into us in the Master's substance. Bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the unveiling of the fullness of him who fills all in all, in us, amongst us, so that the secrets of the kingdom will be open to our inward parts, and we will become inheritors of every blessing in the heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received. And what an awesome statement that is, Father. You did not weigh us, O God, on a meritocracy, Father. All of us have received of his fullness. Nothing has been withheld from any one of us, Lord. No matter where we have come from, no matter what we have done in our past, what you give us unilaterally, Lord. because you have loved us with an everlasting love, because that love is open to us through the cross of Jesus. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord, Father, everything is given to us based on Jesus Christ and not ourselves. What an awesome reality of grace upon grace. So as we partake, O God, of the living bread that came down out of heaven, prophetically symbolized, O God, in the bread that we carry in our hands, Lord, we thank you that you mean to create in us that pure heart, that heart that will know a perfect love, Lord, a heart that will know, O God, that it is loved with an everlasting love, Lord, a heart that will walk before you and be holy and blameless before you, a heart that will know a confidence to receive and to realize all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and all things that we receive, it will be entirely in the merits of the Lamb. We thank you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the cup. The living witness of the cross of Jesus. Let us to become the functional witness that will enable us to function by the Holy Spirit in the perfect love of Jesus, so that we will have the confidence to receive, to realize, and to release all that you mean to manifest in us in accordance with the calling and in accordance with the word that you have spoken into our lives, the word that you have developed into the hearts of flesh that is within us, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, we are being developed, O God, so as to be able to receive, realize, and express the abundance of your heart. We thank you for the witness of this expression. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for good things that you are bringing forth in our lives. We thank you for the ministry that you opened in Indonesia. We pray that we will be able to be a blessing to the church in Indonesia, not just in Batam, but in other areas, Lord. And we pray, O God, that you will use, O God, vessels that you raise in this ministry, Lord, as a blessing to them, Lord. We pray that you will show us how we can continue to be a blessing to them, Lord. And we pray that you will enable us, O God, to be a blessing to the church in Indonesia, Lord. No matter what the denomination, we pray that we will truly see the love of Jesus, O God, manifest healing and manifest renewal and regeneration, O God, so that your name will be glorified. We pray that everything that we do in this place, it will always be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for nothing else, Lord. We pray that you will reign, and we pray that you will direct the pathways of each and every one of us, so that whatever we do, we will do it for your glory. We will do it so that we will have an opportunity to express our gratitude to you, Lord. Our love for you, Lord. Because there is so much you have given us, O God, that we barely appreciate, O Lord. We thank you for the word of the oath. We thank you, Lord, that we stand before you, not just because, O Lord, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but because, O God, you have sworn an oath in his name over our lives. And truly, Lord, the blood of Jesus is an oath over our lives. We want to thank you for that, Lord, because it is something we wholly don't deserve. So to you we bow. To you we give gratitude, O Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us in fully functional terms. To you, Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may